Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Built Full and Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Tuesday morning. This should be, we hope that it is, Sixers elimination day, Sixers elimination night as the series comes back to the Garden for a Game 5. Cannot give them any life, cannot go back to Philadelphia, and I am confident the New York Knicks will wrap things up. They are the better team. They are in command of the series. You also have the New York Islanders grasping on to life, going down to Carolina as a huge underdog in tonight's game, and Ranger fans will be paying attention to that because that is a big opponent situation for them in the second round. And last night you had some interesting baseball games, and Luis Severino taking a no-hitter into the eighth inning. And I was driving back and forth to Connecticut with CeeLo. We put the game on 880. And when we get in the car, I look down and I say, wow, Severino's got a no-hitter. We got to put on the Met game. And CeeLo goes to me, you sure? You sure? Because we weren't listening. And when we weren't listening, he threw a no-hitter. Do you want to jinx it? I said, come on, CeeLo, whatever. Put it on, jinx it. Next thing you know, a little looper base hit in the Cubs get their first hit of the evening. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing well, and that's exactly what happened. Yeah. And it was so close, and then, of course, you know, the great Edwin Diaz, unfortunately, you know, blows it after yes. This. But I would say that, you know, for me, sitting here watching Severino doing what he was doing, I'm like, this guy is in the middle of a bounce-back season.
Yeah.
So, again, I was looking for the silver lining, and he was one of the guys that we were all wondering about how he was going to pitch. And, you know, he's pitched well, when you think about it, for the New York Mets, and it's a shame that, you know, it's just whatever it is. If you're in a Met uniform, you're not pitching a no-hitter unless you throw 150 pitches. Let's face it.
And get a call on a foul and fair ball down the line.
And then shoulder or elbow surgery, and then you're out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was obviously rooting for it. I was upset that I was in the car listening and not watching it, because I really thought, I was like, man, I mean, this guy is dealing. He had something like, when we turned the game on, like 78 pitches. He was in a good spot. I was like, well, they're not going to end up pulling him. He didn't have to worry about that part of it. But whatever. And it really, what was the frustrating part was they end up blowing the game after that. They're up 1-0, and the whole thing falls apart. But, I mean, it really was amazing that the second we turned the game on the radio, the whole thing went to crap.
Right.
I was starting to believe in jinxes again. It's just stupid. And then you had the New York Yankees, too, as we were flipping back and forth to that, just not after an offensive explosion in the last couple of days. That was a classic That's Baseball Susan spot, because then you have a game where they can't muster anything offensively.
Well, and the thing about the Yankees is that this is the new Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
They have been on the rise for the last couple of years, and now all of a sudden are a completely different team. And this is going to be a team that will give the Yankees every ounce of their dollar back right in their face. You know what I mean? So the point is that this is a team that's been building. It's been bad. It's finally turned a corner. It's got new owners. There's a new feeling around the team down there. Friends who are Oriole fans that have been in the, I've been in the dark room for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they see the light at the end of the tunnel with some of their young players. And this is going to be a fight. It's like, it's kind of like, when the Tampa Bay Rays were really good and they were fighting Yankees tooth and nail.
Sure.
And it was frustrating for Yankee fans because they would lose to this team that would spend one third, maybe one fourth of the money that the Yankees would spend. But I would just say that when you look at the lineup of the Orioles, I mean, there's a lot of really good young players on this team. And this is now going to be the new rivalry, or I should say a rivalry renewed between these two teams. And it's going to go on for quite some time because the Yankees are going to spend, and the Orioles have, I kind of feel like they've built it the right way. I mean, they've gone through some really off and lean years, made some really good draft picks. And they, you know, I don't say they're loaded, but I will say that they have to be a top five team right now in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, in last year, they just burst onto the scene and everybody thought that they were going to collapse and they didn't. And they've come back and been great again this year. And really the difference between the Rays and what the Orioles are doing now and the Yankees is when the Yankees had that influx of youth and guys that they had brought up, you know, a lot of them didn't work out. You know, from Greg Bird to Gary Sanchez. I mean, those baby bombers that were supposed to take over. And Gleyber Torres had a decent career, but he wasn't the guy that everybody expected, a perennial all-star. And Aaron Judge is really, and he's been amazing, but Aaron Judge was the only one that really panned out. Where you have these other teams that have three, four, five guys that they're calling up and being staples there for 10 years. And where the Yankees have to go out and trade for a guy like Juan Soto. And then Juan Soto. They got to trade for him to kind of replace some of the production that they lost through guys that didn't pan out.
Here's the thing with the Yankees. There is so much pressure for them to be good every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to be good every year. So they're never going to get the high draft picks. They're never going to go and, you know, lose, you know, 85 games and be in the middle. I mean, they're always going to be competitive. So these other teams can go through 3, 4, 5 years of having to rebuild, kind of like the Milwaukee Brewers, and then add a specific free agent here or there, and then they can build their team. I think that's what the Mets are trying to do right now.
Yeah.
I think we all feel like that's what the Mets are, even though they do have legitimate big-time baseball players. It's this team 2 years from now is going to look so different.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they did at the trade deadline last year. You can't tell me that David Stearns wasn't advising the Mets when he didn't have the job.
You know what?
He definitely was.
Yeah, I think he was, too. But, you know, the interesting thing, watching the Cubs, you know, who's their manager? Craig Counsell.
Yeah, right. The guy who was supposed to be here.
Right, exactly.
And then the Cubs paid him an insane amount of money. And there was just no reason to end up paying that amount, so they end up going in a different direction. But yeah, I mean, and I'm happy the Mets didn't break the bank on that, because that would have been one of those things that just felt like Steve Cohen was doing something to try to flex his financial muscle, because he wasn't going to be able to be allowed to do it with the roster with David Stearns in his first year. So
yeah.
And it doesn't count against the luxury tax. So I'm happy they. I mean, managers are great. There's a couple of them that really make a difference, but most of them do not. So I'm really glad they didn't give him whatever, $100 million or whatever the hell the Cubs gave him.
I still have to get used to these city uniforms that they're wearing.
Yeah, we have a couple.
I know we do. Yeah. But I've seeing it up close and personal is one thing, but seeing it with the white pants and the stripe and, you know, everything gray and black.
And with the purple accent.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, actually. I believe it or not, and I'm usually not someone who likes these third jerseys, but they're subtle enough for me to be happy with them. And it does have the flair of the 7 line, and it still has the pinstripes and the NYC that sort of has that New York Giants, baseball Giants font.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like them. And I wasn't sure how I'd feel about them when I saw them on the players, because I got to look at it first just when they sent us the jerseys. But I like it. I mean, and all the problems that they've had with jerseys this year, like
these
they actually look like better quality than the actual jerseys that they wear.
Well, I've done a Sports Minute on it.
Oh, have you?
I have, and not specifically the Mets uniform, but the problems that Nike and Fanatics have had, and how they basically are saying that they're in the midst of rectifying it, and all the shortages and all the different problems that have showed themselves are in the midst of getting fixed.
Good. Well,
so just to make everybody happy, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean they had to do something about that. All right, so where are you mentally tonight with the New York Knicks? Because
I didn't know I was stepping into something yesterday when I brought up the fact that I was trying to be nice to Richard Jefferson.
Oh God, yeah.
I did not know. Like, I listen to it. I don't get perturbed by it. You know, it's a national broadcast. It's not Breen. It's not Clyde. It's not Wally. It's not the guys that know the team. And I kind of understand that. And I try not to get upset by anything that they say, because it really doesn't matter what they say. You know, that they're calling a game how they see it. Now, I know you told me yesterday he may hate the Knicks, and maybe he does.
Oh, he does.
All right. Okay. All right.
100% does.
You have basically now said that it's a done deal. He hates the Knicks.
I think 100% that hate is a strong word, but he dislikes the Knicks. And here's the difference, because I know exactly what you're saying, and I have talked fans off of this for years when they think that someone like Joe Buck hates their team, or Troy Aikman is only rooting for the Cowboys. And I say that they're wrong. That's not what it is. You're just used to maybe your own broadcasters, and then when you get a national broadcast, you're upset about it because they're not pumping your team up like if it's baseball, like Gary Cohen or Howie Rosewood. So I've always taken your side of that with the Richard Jefferson thing in other instances. However, Richard Jefferson takes it to a whole nother level.
All right, so I don't necessarily hear it the same way some other people hear it. But what's amazing to me is that he is in an ex-beef with the great Ben Stiller, of all people.
That's right, back and forth.
I love Ben Stiller. I mean, Ben Stiller's going back and forth, and I guess, look, we all know that Embiid gets foul calls. We all know that Embiid whines to the officials constantly during the game. We also know that he has turned into a dirty player, especially in this series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it is intense, and there is no question about that. That's one of the reasons why. I love the fact that guys like Ananobi and Achiuwa and Hart and Brunson are not afraid to go down in there and go run into him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I kind of enjoy all of this, but I had no idea that there was this much disdain for Richard Jefferson. I tried to take his side yesterday, and man, you would have thought that I was defending Adolf Hitler or something, for God's sake.
I mean, the Knicks fan is upset, man.
Oh,
they
God,
are
you
they
ain't
are
kidding.
Pissed and which I love the passion about it, but I mean I felt the same way. And also Richard Jefferson being the net that he was, and you just know that he probably had that inferiority complex all those years when they were having success and nobody cared about the Nets even when they were winning. Right. I mean, he just has this thing against the Knicks, which is fine, but you got to drop that crap when you're calling a game.
Here's the thing. That would be like Pittsburgh Steelers fans being mad at me because I was a Bengal. Maybe Patriot fans mad at me because I was a Jet. Maybe the Cleveland Browns fans mad at me when I would say,
call the game professionally. That's the difference. It's like you would be objective calling the games, and people would probably just assume you were against their team when you weren't. And if you play some of the clips back, say, listen, I'm just being objective. I'm criticizing this side. I'm criticizing that side. Richard Jefferson just makes it clear.
I mean, I must not be listening.
I mean, you feel like he wants the Sixers to win.
I really must not be listening close enough.
Well, yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Because we don't get him a lot. I mean, you know, I don't know.
He sounds annoyed that the Knicks are good. He just sounds,
I mean, obviously Ben Stiller thinks so.
But yeah, I mean, most Knicks fans think so. And I'm telling you, it's not one of these things where the Knicks fan is being overly sensitive. I mean, it is clear.
Okay, all right.
This guy can't drop his hatred of the Knicks and call the game objectively.
Look, I am not even going to argue it because I can't. There's just too many people that would want to argue this point.
Yeah.
And so for me, all I think about is do whatever you need to do to win the game tonight.
Yes.
And play with and I know the Knicks will. And you know this fan, you know the Garden is going to be on fire tonight.
No, this is a must win, must crush, must embarrass the Sixers type of night. I mean, this is send them in to the second round with authority, with style. Don't get dragged down into the mud with the Embiid stuff. No injuries, no stupid ejections or flagrant twos or whatever, because you know that stuff's going to go on. If the Knicks are winning in the fourth quarter in this game, you know the Sixers, and especially Embiid, are going to go dirty, and you can't fall into that. I'm sure that Tibbs is telling the team all of that. I mean, I want this to be a statement game for the Knicks, where not only did we beat you, we took care of you in five, and you're walking out of here with your head down after you guaranteed that you were going to win the series. I mean, that's going to be, and I have full confidence. I mean, I said after they lost game three that I thought the Knicks were going to win in five. So I don't think there's anything wrong in being confident in the team. I am not cocky about them, but I am confident in what I've seen in this series that the Knicks are the better team, and they're going to win tonight at home.
I mean, well, from your lips to God's ears.
From your lips to God's ears, bro.
Yes, bro.
87733. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We'll get Jerry in here in just a couple of minutes. Just getting started on this busy Tuesday morning on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Big night tonight with the playoffs in the NHL and the NBA. Did have some baseball last night. Jerry Recco is with us right now, and he's got an update. Good to see you, Jerry.
Well, nice to be seen. We're brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. You want to start with the NBA, or you want to do the baseball from last night first?
I think we should go local, Jerry.
All
why
right.
not?
So we'll start with the Yankees and Orioles first, because two first-place teams essentially fighting for first place in the division. And if you missed the beginning of the game, you missed a lot of the game. So we go to Camden Yards last night. It's a scoreless game. Leadoff batter for the O's.
Now the 2-2 again from Schmidt. Swing and a deep shot into right field. Forget it. Gunnar Henderson says hello to the Yankees to start 2024. A solo home run that got out of here way quickly in Camden Yards.
You see the movement on that ball? And he still was able to clock it to right. That was Justin Shackle and Susan there on the Fan. And if you missed it, that was pretty much it. The O's did tack on a run on an error by Anthony Volpe, and they would win 2-0 because the Yankee offense mustered next to nothing offensively.
How many left on base were there in scoring position?
I know they were 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. Judge had the one opportunity in the third with one out and a runner on third base, and he just grounded out weakly.
Baseball's amazing.
Or struck out,
They can go back-to-back 2 days, put up 30 runs, and then come back and just not have the hit at the right time.
And even when they get a hit, and I felt bad for him because this is not the Giancarlo Stanton running around the base at half speed. He got thrown out at second on a base hit to right when he was on first base. Now, it sounds bad, and if you look at the play-by-play, you're like, what? The problem is it was a soft liner, and he was running back to first thinking the second baseman was going to catch it. It goes into right, then he starts running, and he gets thrown out by 2 feet.
Yeah, it's one of those weird deals.
Yeah, so they had nothing really going offensively. Here was Clark Schmidt, who pitched really well into the sixth inning, but allowed that leadoff home run.
Tough way to lose right there. I think big thing was giving up a early run and then keeping my team in the game and not giving up any more after that. Just kind of limiting damage.
But the Yankees did no damage. Grayson Rodriguez now 4-1. He went 5 2/3 for the win. The Orioles.
Hey, what do you think is worse? Giving up a home run, throwing an interception, giving up a goal, or missing a game-winning shot?
Oh, geez.
It all depends on the circumstance.
Right. But you're telling me, like, in the biggest moment?
Just in the moment itself.
I mean, giving up a goal like sucks, missing right? a shot, honestly, because that's just you. Whereas someone, you could give your best and someone could be a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could go mano-a-mano with someone and they just got you. When it's just you and the basket, like, let's say it's like a free throw, it's just you and it's up to you to make it, and you miss, that's probably the worst.
Like, I was thinking about all the games that I played in my career, whether it be high school or college, and, throwing an interception was miserable. It sucked, especially when it was returned for a touchdown.
But how about when it wasn't your fault?
Well, it was never my fault, Jerry. Come on.
No, but a lot of times it's the receiver's fault. Do you get pissed off at the receiver?
I don't know about giving up a home run. I don't think I ever gave one up in high school. Not even to Greg Sarah, the great Greg Sarah, who still has the book that he scored or somebody scored for our games.
Wow. Really? Big moment in his life, huh?
That's like Evan Roberts. Keeps all the books. No, but I'm just kidding. I was just wondering, because here you are, you're starting the game, and Gunnar Henderson leads off with a bomb. And that was a hell of a pitch.
I thought it was a great pitch. It was a slider in.
And that's just got to be like, oh, man, this is the way we're going to start the game?
They actually said on the broadcast it was a knuckle curve.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, which, crazy.
Seems kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Nestor Cortez, Dean Kramer tonight. We'll have it on the Fan coverage at 5:55. Another one of these earlier starts in Baltimore. Meantime, at Citi Field last night, Luis Severino was humming along. Matter of fact, he looked like he was going to throw a no-hitter. We take you to the eighth inning, as the Cubs still had no hits on the night, and then they did.
The 0-2 to Swanson. Swing and a broken bat looper behind short. Base hit going into left center field, and the no-hit bid is over. Bush goes to second and stops there. On at first with a bloop single is Dansby Swanson.
And there went the no-hitter.
You know what sucks is that here you go. You go all the way into the eighth inning with the no-hitter.
Yeah.
And not only do you lose the no-hitter, you lose the game.
Because they don't score.
Yes.
It was awful. And here was, this is, I think we were talking about before, Jay, this was Keith Rad coming on after Howie on WCBS 880 after the base hit.
And he almost saw as Lindor was going back, his eyes lit up and said, oh, I got to catch this. And then he realized that point of no return, it was going to float over his head for a little duck fart base hit.
A duck fart.
A duck fart. Hit.
So
that's a new one for me.
Right. I'd never heard this in my life. And I'm in the car with CeeLo, and I look at him. I said, did he just say duck fart? And CeeLo's like, yeah, he did. I was like, have you ever heard that? He goes, no.
Me neither.
A duck fart.
But in fairness, hit. I never heard a dry hump on a guy either.
Yeah, that's true. And now, but that was a thing that came from a manager. So obviously, like sometimes the real baseball lingo. But Keith Rad's like us, just a baseball fan who's been watching, calling games.
Yeah.
And a duck fart.
Carl Yastrzemski Award winner, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you ever hear of dry humping and duck farts?
I've heard of the dry hump, but I didn't know what it meant when it came to baseball.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I know what a duck fart is, too, but when we're talking about baseball.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I know what a can of corn is.
A can. So that's interesting you bring that up. Yeah. Isn't that go back to the guys used to work in the grocery stores and the
corn was on the top shelf?
And they would just catch it?
Yeah, knock it down and catch it.
That one I understand. Duck fart and dry humps. Okay.
Seeing eye single.
Yeah, but you could understand that. The ball's got an eye of its own and finds a spot.
I was trying to think of other baseball lingo that you would...
So dry hump makes sense to me because...
Up, down.
Right. So you're warming up and then you don't get in the game.
Okay.
So it's basically like you're doing the thing, but you're not doing the thing.
All right, fair enough.
Dry hump makes sense.
Did you hear that, though, in high school?
Never heard it in high school.
Okay, me neither.
Heard a lot of things from Neil Heaton in high school. That didn't hear dry hump. But duck fart doesn't make any sense to me.
Me neither.
I mean, I can't figure it out.
I guess it's because it wasn't hit hard. It's kind of like the duck and the poof fart. It just flies over the play. I don't know.
What do you think? You think that he had said that before? Or you think he just came up with it because he was annoyed?
It sounded to me like
he was annoyed when he was describing it.
I will tell you, Howie doesn't break stride, though. Like, he says that, Howie goes right into the next pitch.
Well, Howie doesn't pay attention to anybody.
Well, it might be.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like one of those things where, and like some of the late night hosts used to do this, where they'd ask play-by-play people to work in a phrase somehow in the middle of a game. And like, it's almost like someone challenged Keith Rad to say duck fart at some point during the broadcast. And that's where he decided to do it.
All right, here you go. So, I actually found this. So, and this is from MLB.com. All right, they have this page, and it is called The Origin Stories Behind 11 Uniquely Strange Baseball Terms. All right, so if I go all the way down to the duck fart, this is a thing. All right, they call it a duck snort.
Oh.
Duck snort. I'm so confused.
So screwed this thing up.
He didn't.
Okay.
The duck snort, but initially the phrase was duck fart. It actually makes some sense. I'm reading this. If you dare to think about it for a second, the idea was that thanks to its feathers, the flatulence of a duck would be pretty muffled and soft, much like a bloop single.
Okay. We all know what a duck fart is. Okay?
You know, sometimes I put on a fan, these guys don't ever heard of a duck fart. I mean, come on. I've been saying duck fart since 1965. Okay.
That's incredible.
There's no way Vin Scully ever used that word. Or those words?
No, not in a broadcast. Maybe, you know, off the air. But
Lindsay Nelson, Ralph Kiner, John Sterling. Nobody.
Never heard it.
Howie.
Never heard it.
Gary Cohen.
A lot of years
that
of baseball.
That could be something that Keith Hernandez would say. But Howie, you know, he can say a lot of things, actually.
Yeah,
they're crediting this to Hawk Harrelson.
Oh, okay. That's a legend.
In the 80s.
Yeah, that's a legend.
So, and to answer your question, Eddie, no, dry hump is not on here. It's one of the 11 phrases. So, there's that. What else? So Christopher Morel hits a two-run homer then, and the Mets wind up losing 3-1 after he had given up. They tried to go for a double play with a guy on third. They don't get it. It's tied at one. Then in the ninth, Edwin Diaz comes on and gives up the two-run homer, and the Mets lose 3-1. Here was Diaz. Can't make it easy for the batters.
Yeah, I just missed right in the middle. You know, Nido called me fastball away and tried to throw it there. I came back to the middle, and he hit it pretty good.
As for Severino and the seven innings of no-hit ball, when did you know that you had something, you know, on the night that you were kind of special with the way you were throwing?
First pitch of the game. No, I was feeling good, even in the bullpen. You know, fastball was, the command was outstanding. You know, even the breaking pitch, the sweeper in the bullpen was really good too.
And I know they showed on CBS Sports Network, they showed Bill Murray there in the package of highlights. You think people around him realized it was Bill Murray?
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looks a lot older these days.
He does.
As we all are, of
course.
He
doesn't really hide who he is. Bill Murray's around, he's letting you know he's Bill Murray.
Fair enough. You got Sean Manaea tonight on WCBS 880, once again at 7:10. All right, to the NBA playoffs. You got Knicks 76ers tonight. Game 5, New York up 3-1. The Lakers are done, and just like the way the series essentially started, it's kind of the way it ends. They played well on the road in Denver. But the Nuggets have the last laugh.
Murray has it on the high right side. High pick from Jokic. Murray, jumper from 8. Got it again! 3.6 seconds left for the Lakers. LeBron over to Prince. Jumper's no good at the horn. And the L.A. Lakers can take that L on the way out, along with that whistle.
Yeah, that was Nuggets radio with the call. He said got it again because Murray had just hit a big 3. I think it was the previous possession or the possession before that. And so he goes for 32, and the Nuggets take the series in 5, winning 108-106. Two game winners on their home floor, essentially, in this series. Here was Murray on TNT. Just an amazing feeling.
I was speechless. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a dream come true. You know, all these fans on your side, and to get it done in this fashion, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say.
This happens for us. That's it. Jokic had 25 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists in this game. Almost had the quadruple-double because he had 7 turnovers, too. But still a hell of a game. LeBron was good, had 30. He was asked about his future afterwards.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
So let the drama begin.
He just can't help himself. He just has to make a headline when he didn't need to. But that's who he is, whatever.
Pretty much. Then you've got the Celtics and the Heat. Boston taking the 3-1 series lead.
White finds the open man. It's Tatum. He's going to put it to the floor. Drive and flush with the right hand. Drive home safely.
And that was Celtics radio with the call. They win 102-88. Miami had that one nice win in the series. But right now, Boston heads home up 3-1 and can close it out on their home floor. Derek White had 38. That was the Tatum dunk. First things first, here was White talking about just being locked in.
It's unreal. I mean, I think any person that kind of gets a couple going in and you start making some tough ones, then you feel like you just can't miss. That basket's huge. So
yeah, well, he was pretty good.
I'll tell you what, right now, three teams, Minnesota, Denver, and Boston, look like to be the three best teams.
How about OKC?
And OKC, you're right. Yeah. OKC, yeah.
They swept the Pelicans with that one last night, too. It's, we just don't think of them. It's really amazing. I don't either.
Hey, man.
And they're really good.
The Knicks are about to wipe out the Sixers and last year's MVP in 5 games tonight, quite possibly. So let's throw them in there, too.
I'm saying is that you see these other games and you watch. And look, I watched the hockey as well. And I watched the Florida Panthers last night. And I'm like, Jesus, they're good. And, you know, they're going to be a problem, you know, to whoever they play next, either Boston or Toronto. But you watch some of these other teams that you don't see year, you know, night in and night out.
Oh, I think Denver's the team to beat again. I mean, it's just...
Man, what Minnesota did, man.
Oof. Yeah, I know, but, I mean, Jokic is just in that. I mean, Anthony Edwards has kind of taken over, but Jokic is still so good. They did it last year. I don't know. I'd be surprised if they're not back in the finals.
One thing to keep in mind with the Celtics, Kristaps Porzingis suffered a calf injury in that game.
He always suffers some injury. You know that?
But it happened last night. Don't know about the severity of that going forward. Mentioned the Thunder sweeping the Pelicans. They won 97-89. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams with 24 points apiece. You're getting a look at the Porzingis injury. Doesn't look great. They said imaging coming up today.
He's got that black tape on it going up his calf.
Yeah.
Is that the calf that he hurt?
Let's go with that.
Okay. Let's start with that.
No idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Nope.
All right.
Tonight, Raleigh. It is game 5 for the Islanders. Raleigh. You say Raleigh. I say Raleigh. You say
it's Raleigh.
Tomato. I say tomato.
Raleigh.
Depends on where you're from. That's okay. Not true. If I'm from Louisiana, I might say Raleigh.
Okay.
Might not say the way you say it. Game 5, Islanders down 3-1. And then also you mentioned the Panthers beating the Lightning. That series is over. Chiefs give Travis Kelce a 2-year contract, $34 million, the first year of $17 million guaranteed. And I think the second year fully guarantees if he's on the roster next May or something like that.
And they're praying to God that, you know, Taylor Swift is going to be coming to the games.
I'm sure they are.
Of course.
Well, here he was on social media. I don't know if this is Instagram or Twitter, but this was him essentially telling the Chief fans he's back.
Back at it again, baby. Woo! I just see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now.
I did not realize it's been 12 years he's been there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
Feels like just yesterday, doesn't it, Jerry?
Well, you know what? Yeah, you didn't really, you knew who he was, but you really didn't know who he was until Patrick Mahomes took over.
Certainly elevated, that's for sure. And then speaking of bringing it back, Ezekiel Elliott back with the Cowboys.
I know. We touched on this towards the end of the show yesterday. I mean, I just shocked.
Well, what they're doing is, you know, obviously getting rid of Tony Pollard. They don't have a lot of money. They got salary cap issues. They got to figure out what the hell they're doing with Dak's contract. And so they have three young running backs, and they bring back Ezekiel Elliott. He's still capable of doing the short yardage packages and things of that nature, catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, but they want him to mentor those guys.
And I will tell you how many times it came up on our broadcast last year. Boy, if they had Ezekiel Elliott, when they would struggle to get in from the two-yard line. So I don't know what he's got left, but we will find out. And former Cowboy Michael Gallup goes to the Vegas Raiders.
All right, very good, Jerry. Thank you. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So
I got many text messages yesterday after you talked about the NFL Today and then re-signing here and CBS Sports Network. And so, like, if I got 10 text messages, you got, what, 1,000 text messages?
I got a lot, yes. I did get a lot. And, you know, I got one from Al.
Oh, did you?
Yes, Al sent me one. But I will tell you that it was a 50-50 split between funeral and celebration. So the radio people in my life were all celebrating the fact. All right. Celebrating the fact that we were extending, or I was extending myself here.
Right.
And for the foreseeable future, and that we would be on CBS Sports Network. The TV people who must have been reading headlines and not hearing what I said yesterday were all like, you know, it was a funeral. And, oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing this, and I'm going to stop watching. I'm like, guys, this is something that's okay with me. I'm fine.
Yes.
And, like I said, I get my weekends back, and I haven't had weekends in, like, 40 years in the fall. So it's actually a nice thing for me to have a break. But the funniest one was James Brown, and I don't think he meant to be funny. So he leaves me a voicemail message, right?
Yeah.
And JB is very soft-spoken, and you know, when he leaves you a voicemail, it's very emotional, and it speaks to his heart. And he was in the middle of writing two eulogies that he was delivering for friends of his that passed away. And the way that he left the voicemail, it sounded like it was a eulogy for me. And I was like,
and Phil, because of two, right?
Yes, exactly. I guess we're the two eulogies he's writing for. And I was like, I left him a voicemail, but message back saying, JB, it's not a funeral. It's okay. I said, there's no animosity. There's no, malice or any of that stuff involved with me anyway. You know, I can't speak for other people, but involving me. And it was very funny. I mean, it just goes to show you just how different everything is. You know, like the Ray Martels, the Rich Ackermans, Amy, and everybody else that is in radio and loves radio.
Yeah,
you know, saw the extension as like, congratulations, that's great. And then the people that are in TV, from my friend Scott Van Pelt at ESPN, sure, and everybody else, you know, sending me great messages, but like my life is not ending. I'm going to be here every day.
Well, it does show you that people do care. And
no, they do. They do.
And too many people have your phone number. That's the other thing.
But also, I got a lot of emails, a lot of support on X, and it was very nice for everybody to do what they did. But I'm I'm okay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here. Yeah. And I'll be more than happy. And when we get to football season, to be talking about football like we always do. And
a little more energized.
And a lot more energized, yes.
Which is going to be,
So like great. I was saying yesterday, people don't understand that the NFL today is a 12-hour Sunday. Like, mm-hmm, you get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, you get out at 8 o'clock at night. And it's like, you develop friendships, and it's a family, and they treat it like that. And Sean McManus left an incredible culture for David Burson to inherit. And it's all the people. It's not just the people in front of the camera, but the amount of people behind the camera that make it so much fun and made it so enjoyable for all of us that worked on it. And the ball busting, the ribbing, all the crap that goes on behind the scenes, watching games with Coach Cower and Phil and Nate, and guys screaming back and forth about coaching decisions. I mean, that's the stuff you're going to miss, or I'll miss. But at the end of the day, I'll be able to wake up on a Saturday morning in October and go play golf.
Yes, that is right. Yeah,
which I'm looking forward to.
Right. And a Sunday morning now.
Yeah, and plus I'll be able to go to a couple games, and believe me, Patrick Winter's already reached out, which game you want to go to. And then I got a couple of really nice text messages from some very surprising people.
Can you share?
I think I can give one out, because it was very nice. And it just came out of nowhere, and it was Christopher Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Because I love you on the radio, but I really loved you on Sundays.
Wow.
You know, so that was really nice. And yes. And other people within the, you know, Brian Daboll, people like that, you know, that had been reading stuff.
Coach.
Yes, yeah, so.
Big Daddy reaching out.
Right, but I like I said back to him, I said, look, I got weekends off for the first time in 40 years, Coach. You probably don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
And how freeing and how relieving that is. It was all over the place, but 99% support. Every now and then there's somebody digging at you. You know what I mean?
I mean, come on.
But you expect that.
I mean, as they say, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. As Rob Sala said all throughout the year last year.
Yes, he did.
No, it's just par for the course. Now, I do have to say, though, like, you know, yesterday, right before this announcement, I said, you know, Al and Jerry aren't here. They're at the Princeton Longevity Center. Do you want to give them a heads up? And you went, no.
No, they don't need a heads up.
I think Al was
Why would Al need a heads up?
No, I was like, Al was screwing a phone call, so I'll say it again. So I said, like, right before the announcement, I said, you know, Al and Jerry aren't here. I said, do you want to text them just to give them a heads up, so it's not like, you know, seeing headlines for the first time? I mean, obviously it affects their future too. And Boomer goes, no. I was like, okay. I just thought it would have been a nice thing. Like, hey, just so you know what's going on. But he's like, nah.
I saw it in I was in the waiting room. It popped right up on social media with a clip and everything. It was great.
Okay, oh, there you go. See, so you were poked and prodded yesterday.
Al and Jerry, warm-up show, is not here today. They're both getting their colons checked.
Ass is up.
I did not get my colon checked.
All right. You didn't do a colonoscopy?
No.
No, okay.
A little washing out of the prostate.
Sounds like a fun Monday for you guys.
But the fact that you guys did it together was very sweet.
Yeah, it was nice. We were in the waiting room together. We could compare notes.
How long was it? Like 8 hours?
I was there, yeah, about almost 8 hours.
Okay, so you got a lot of things checked.
I did, yep.
Lot of
this guy's got gonorrhea.
I did not have gonorrhea.
Anything come back questionable?
Yeah, I have the bones of an 80-year-old grandmother, which is not good. Yeah.
He actually said that, or you're exaggerating?
He didn't say that. I've added the 80-year-old grandmother. My bone density is not of a man my age. That is concerning to them.
So you need some bone density.
I need some bone density.
So what, are you start drinking some milk? What are you going to do?
I need muscle. Calcium? I need muscle and bone density. My heart was terrific, though.
Good. That's important.
He said my chances of ever having a stroke or heart attack is like 0.01%.
That is
good.
Great.
That is
chances
great.
Of me breaking my hip, pretty good.
Now, what about the thing that you sent me? Do you want to share that?
That was part of it, yeah. So I did they check your fat, like how much of your body percentage is fat. I'm a man who weighs 155 pounds, 5'10", and they told me my fat percentage is too high. I was 25% fat.
Really?
So this is what he texted me, and I said I wasn't going to share. I was going to let Al tell his story. So I write back to him. I'm like, I guess because your body has to be made up of something, right? I mean, that's why it's 25%.
So you're water and fat is what you are.
Yeah, so they told me I need 18 pounds of muscle. I need to add 18 pounds of muscle.
Well, how are you going to do that?
Steroids.
Yeah, right. No, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be adding 18 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
So they want you about 170?
Yeah, 170.
They just thought you were a little bit too light?
Yeah.
Mm. Now, how do you improve bone density at your age?
Well, testosterone is one of the things.
Ooh.
So I'd probably get on some testosterone, bone density.
I'm sure maybe if you stand next to Brandon Tierney, you'll catch some of his.
It's contagious.
Just see if he donates some of his.
Yeah. He's got a lot of it.
He does.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So you actually think you're going to do like testosterone shots and stuff like that?
I might have to do it. Wow. Like it's actually concerning to them because as you get older, your bones get worse. And I'm already in bone breaking mode.
Give me the Al on testosterone.
So, what are you guys up to today?
Good guys. Well, I think it's great that you actually went and did this.
Yes.
Were you happy that you ended up doing it?
I did, yeah.
I know it was 8 hours. It was a long day and everything.
No, but it was good. I got to, battle with the nutritionist. Like, it was fun. I had a good time, yeah.
Of course. Battle with the nutritionist.
Did you tell the nutritionist what app you use and how you determine what to eat?
Yeah, we did go over. There was a lot of pushback back and forth between the two of us. It was a great discussion.
What was the thing that you guys argued about the most?
Seed oils.
Oh my God.
And social media influencers.
Oh, okay.
It was good. It was a good, great conversation.
Did you come out of it with a different opinion?
Not particularly.
Okay.
But it was a good back and forth, I thought.
That's so funny. Because this nutritionist is probably like, everybody's looking for help. You know, people that go there, what can I do to help my diet? And then all of a sudden you roll in there going, let's go. Come on. I want to battle this nutritionist.
Yeah.
Like it's first take.
Yes. Yeah. It was like it was first take. We had different topics. We'd go all back and forth.
Moving on to the carnivore diet. All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quick break. Get your calls in. Talk some more. Knicks coming up next.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.